begin with a passage taken from Sacred Scripture. It's taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 17 and following. St. Paul writes that we are to join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. And now you might be thinking to yourselves, I've recently heard this passage, and it's correct. It's taken from our reading from the second Sunday of Lent, in which we have this reflection that Paul gives to us. But as I was praying through these talk and this idea of pilgrimage, one of the things that kind of kept coming back to me over and over was connecting it to this passage, the idea of not only pilgrimages, but the Jubilee pilgrimage in this Jubilee year as well. And it seems that the dichotomy that Paul seems to draw is being occupied with earthly things, but also being cognizant of the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. And so I do want to explore this dichotomy a little bit more. And to begin this exploration, I'm going to share a story. When I was in high school, I was involved in a Marian movement called Schoenstatt. It was started by a German priest, Father Kentenich, near a town of Koblenz in Germany. Schoenstatt is German for a beautiful place. And Father Kentenich was given charge of some ruly boys and some different things, and really focused on growing virtue, but especially through Mary. And so he began this movement, and it was kind of 100 years later, now is still actively involved. But towards the beginning of 2005, there was a pilgrimage being announced to Germany in Cologne, and one of those places we would stay in was actually going to be in the original Schoenstatt. And so all these things kind of come together, and I had to do it. But the announcement for the days for World Youth Day was in August. And the problem with that was I played football. So then I had this decision to make, right? The day we left for this pilgrimage would have been first day of football practice. I would have missed the first week and a half of practice or of school as well, which wasn't that concerned about missing school, but I was concerned about missing football because I knew that that would impact my playing time throughout the year and different things. And in this tension that I had in early 2005, knowing that it was my junior year, the start of my junior year, is how I would choose and what I would do. And in that thought process, I remembered thinking that, yes, I would go, but the reason why is because 10 years after high school, I remember thinking, what would I ask myself? Right? What would I remember more, playing more football or going to Germany and seeing the Pope? And seeing the Pope was the one that rained out. And so then my almost 17-year-old self at that point decided that yes, I would go on this trip. And so then preparing for this trip in the next 6 months, kind of the first thought I had about pilgrimages, but they were essentially Catholic vacations, right? You travel to a foreign place, you saw many of the attractions of that place, but also made sure to visit Catholic sites, churches and the like. And we did that in Germany. We visited the Catholic sites that were popular. Like I mentioned, we went to Schoenstatt. We went to another Schoenstatt center in France. We visited the Cologne Cathedral, but also saw some of the other sites around Germany. But one that we also went to was a World War I battle site, and then parts of prisons and different things during World War II. And then going through the memories of this trip, there was one thing that stood out to even almost 17-year-old me that put this crack into my thought of, is this just a Catholic vacation? And it was, we followed the footsteps of one of the early members of Schoenstatt, one of the early seminarians that was starting to be a priest. He died as a deacon, but his name was Blessed Karl Leisner. And we visited places that were important to his, and knowing to the outcome, right, he died shortly after being are released from the Dachau concentration camp in 1945, and just seeing the culture in which he grew up in, seeing the hardships that he endured, and some of those other things about it, allowed some element of this trip to imprint on me that this was more than a vacation. And so in reflecting on this pilgrimage, right, it was coming back after football, or after and going into football and into school, it was the first time that I had in this prayer that maybe God was calling me to seminary. And maybe there was something more that I should live for than focusing on athletics and those things. And so what I wanted to draw from this story was the reality of the idea of pilgrimage, not being just this Catholic identity, but really what kind of St. Paul says, well, yes, we are in the world, right? We are concerned of earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven. And there are elements of these that we can go through this. And this is cemented in the reality of what the Native Church has given this journey, right, this pilgrimage. So a quick Google search has given this idea that in about 30 to 60 minutes of research, I discovered that the word pilgrimage comes from two Latin words, per meaning through, and ager meaning field or land. Right? Ager would be the root of the word agriculture, that's why it pertains to the land. And then the combination of these two words then became per ager, and was used to refer to someone who traveled abroad, someone who went through the land. From that it became a noun to refer to a foreigner, which was a peregrinus. Then over the years, the first R changed to an L and made it easier to pronounce, and you add the German flair to it, which was grim, and you get the word pilgrim, or the idea of a pilgrimage. Right? So then, now back to this other element of the dichotomy, what Paul says about being enemies of the cross. Right? He says those are occupied with earthly things. It's not saying that we can't be in the world, right? It's a reality that we are. It is a reality that we need to have means of supporting ourselves in this world, which means for most of us we have jobs. St. Paul cannot be saying that to interact with this world then means that we are enemies of the cross. But if we rely on this world for our comfort, right, our stomach is our God, or we rely on this world for happiness, we fall prey to the thinking that all of our lives will be fulfilled by these things in this world. And in that, we will be enemies of the cross of Christ. We will allow ourselves to think of first ourselves as citizens of the world, not as citizens as heaven primarily, well, only secondarily in that reality. And so in our lives today, I encourage on this journey in the life of this pilgrimage of our earthly journey, we need to adopt this spirituality that will help us to being that reality of being pilgrims, that we are foreigners in our quote-unquote homeland here on earth. We are the ones that are passing through this land. That's what I experienced by going to, with the example of Carl Leisner and his dedication, and doing these different pilgrimages throughout this year especially, will, I think, open us to that reality. So I encourage you to plan trips to the ones, the parishes in the Diocese of Lincoln that are labeled as pilgrimage sites, or consider going on another one of the pilgrimages as well. Because our mindset needs to be dictated by this reality that we are pilgrims in this world and that our citizenship is in heaven. So we'd not be enemies of the cross of Christ, but rather to be living in that moment. So lastly, just as we reflect on this idea of Jubilee throughout these series of preaching events, we reflected on the virtue of hope. Both of these play a vital role in developing our pilgrim spirituality, because the longing for eternity, which hope is, right, will take root in our lives when we work backwards towards that goal of that end goal that we are working for ourselves, how we will work and God will work in us, and how we will cooperate with that work that God has done in us, and how that the decisions we make in the present moment relate to that final end. I pray that during this Jubilee year, that any pilgrimage we take, whether to Rome or other locations, that we allow this reality of God to break through our lives, that we allow the reality of being citizens in heaven to take root, that we allow what that pilgrimage is meant to be, this encounter with God, this spiritual journey of our lives to be in union with God, rings true in our lives. And may that bring us to the greatest gift and greatest joy, that we are able to stand in the presence of God for all eternity and see him face to face.